In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. With the Nativity of the Virgin, we begin the Church New Year in the joy that her Nativity brings. The bridal chamber of the light, the book of the Word of Life, has come forth from the womb of Blessed Anna. The East Gate is born and awaits the entrance of the great priest, Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the Creator and Savior of the world. In the expectant joy that dawns on the world in the birth of the Virgin, the faithful elevate the cross on high, and we make ready to set out on the days and months of the new church year as on an exodus to the Lord's life-creating Pascha. For our eternal destiny is at stake. This morning, Mother Church sets before us the gospel of the rich young man to rouse us from our sloth, born out of our sinful and casual indifference to the fate of our soul. Note how the Lord's command to the rich young man is set in the light of the Lord's love for the world, manifested in his obedience to the Father, even to the point of death on the cross, for the purpose of sharing in our death. For out of his inexpressible love, he desired to become perfectly one with us, because it is his will, it is his desire, that we should become perfectly one with him, so that the joy of the Father that is in him might be in us, and that even Christ himself, the only begotten Son of God, might be in us. This mystery is great, beyond our ability to comprehend. And yet the divine mystery of Christ in you, the uncreated joy of the Father in you, the hope of glory, this is the primary principle of our nature. This is who we really are. So why on earth are we so disinterested in it? Why on earth are we so bored by this gospel teaching? You are God's sons of the Most High. The Lord himself tells us this twice, once in the Psalms, and once himself in the flesh. Why does this divine word slide off of us like water off a duck's back? Why in the name of heaven are we so ready to deny ourselves that we might have worldly riches, but we won't lift a finger to have the treasure of heaven? Jesus Christ, the Lord himself. What on earth do we want that we think worldly wealth will give to us? Worldly glory, worldly fame, worldly comforts, worldly conveniences. I'm struck by how generous and gracious the Lord is to this rich man. Even though this rich man demonstrates by his actions that he has not kept the commandments at all, even so, the Lord gives to him a precious word that would raise his soul to life in the joy of the Father and give him riches infinitely more precious than thousands of gold and silver pieces. But the rich man turns his back on the gracious Lord and walks away sorrowful. What a tragedy this young man's love for the riches of the world has made of him. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Scriptures would call him an adulterer, for he has spurned the God who created him and who loves him so much that he emptied himself to the point of bitter death on the cross, that he, the rich man, might have treasure in heaven and eternal life. Why does this rich man not grieve over the adultery of his idolatry? Why does he not grieve over how his adultery, his faithlessness to the Lord, has grieved and separated him from the compassionate God, the greatly compassionate God? who loves him and gave himself for him. Is he so selfish, so dead, that he can't feel how lonely and afraid he is in the riches that he would choose that over eternal life, in the joy and love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the treasure of heaven? This is the action by which the rich man showed that in keeping the commandments, as he said, he did not keep them at all. I treasure this word of the Lord to the rich man. It is a word to me. It penetrates my flesh with fear. I'm quoting from Psalm 119. And it does not cease to work on me. However much I try to get out from under its indictment, by trying to massage it with nuanced interpretations that would delude me, allowing me to hold on to my worldly riches while believing that I am following the Lord. I pray that this word to the rich man, which is to me, will penetrate my flesh with fear and work on my soul until the day I die. For the word of the Lord to the rich man would penetrate to the division of his soul and spirit, all the way down to the thoughts and intentions of his heart. This is precisely where the rich man would have been in his heart if he had, in fact, been keeping the commandments of the Lord. So what did he lack? He lacked the heart that is at the heart of the commandments. He lacked love for God. For if he had been keeping the commandments, they would have led him, as we may see most clearly, for example, in the Psalms, and especially in Psalms 119. Read Psalm 119 and then go to this gospel and see how desperately shallow this rich man is suddenly revealed to be. If he had been keeping the commandments, they would have led him into his heart, and they would have made him drunk with desire for the Lord, from having tasted the ineffable goodness of the Lord. If he had truly kept the commandments, he would have recognized Jesus immediately in his heart as more than a teacher, and as the Lord God, whose mercy fills the earth, whose word is truth, whose commandments are sweeter to the soul than honey to the tongue, because they are full of righteousness, the life of God, and they impart divine light and life to those who keep them. Therefore, to hear the command in effect, to lose his life for the sake of Christ, to sell all that he has, and to follow Jesus. In other words, to unite himself to the Lord Jesus Christ in the likeness of his death, that he might become perfectly one with him in the likeness of his holy resurrection, this would have been the sweetest word he could have heard from the Lord. That it wasn't to him, and that it isn't so to me. To me, it is a very hard word that makes me squirm and look for an out. That it wasn't to him or to me, I take as the action of the word of God that is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the division of my soul and spirit to reveal the idolatry that chokes the thoughts and intentions of my heart. But I welcome this action of the word of the Lord. I welcome it. It is a chastening. And as a chastening of the Lord, it is a chastening that blesses. It's a chastening that heals. His truth is as unyielding as adamantine. And precisely because of this, it cleanses. It heals. I can feel my soul slowly waking up to a divine life that is sweeter than honey, even as a taste, when I receive this word and try not to get out of it. I do not turn away from the Lord grieving because I must forsake my riches to follow him. I grieve because I find it so hard to turn away from my riches. I find the words of that certain father coming to my lips. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Reading the scriptures, I learned that I am not alone. St. Paul experienced the same. In my inner man, he says, I take delight in the law of God. But I see another law in my fleshly members, warring against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin, making me captive to an idolatrous adultery, a spiritual fornication, a lust for worldly riches that I hate, even as I do its bidding. So the rich man wasn't alone. I am not alone. You are not alone. We are all under the same condemnation of idolatry. We are all captive to this sin of spiritual adultery, this love for worldly riches. And let's not pretend that we aren't. But I think it is faithful to the teaching of the Holy Fathers to say that if we find ourselves feeling a certain hatred for our love for worldly riches, even as we continue to be bound by it, that in itself is the sign that the Virgin has been born. The bridal chamber of the light has appeared, and the light of Christ is dawning in our soul. For it is in that light of Christ shining in our soul from the Blessed Virgin that we are able to see our idolatry, to feel our darkness, and to smell the stench of our sins. What then are we to do? How are we to be saved? May I suggest that this Sunday is the moment of decision. Where are we going to go from here? We're about ready to lift up our cross and to make our way towards Holy Pascha. Where do we want to go? This today could be the moment of decision. We are the rich man. But if we don't want to be with the rich man, we want to be with the disciples, because you know the disciples didn't see it either. The rich man wanted riches. The disciples wanted power. It's not given in this morning's gospel. It's given in another gospel. Remember how Peter says to the Lord, but what about us? We followed you. What are we going to get for it? And the Lord as though comforts him and says, well, okay. You will get the power to sit on the 12 tribes of Israel and you'll be judging the world. Okay, Lord, fine. Okay, we're going to get our power. Everything's cool, man. But at least the disciples followed Christ. At least they did not turn away. And even after they had fled from him, by the way, isn't it interesting? I also thought this struck me. Isn't it interesting that we never hear this gospel from those who want to hawk church growth? The Lord was a lousy grower of the church. He did nothing to make this young man feel good about himself. He offended him. He dared to offend him. And when he went to his cross, all his disciples fled and he was by himself. That's not how you grow the church, Lord. You need to read the pamphlets more closely. Brothers and sisters, which church do you want to be a part of? The church of the world that tries to accommodate, tries to appease. I saw a postcard just the other day coming into our mail from a church nearby saying, hold on, you can keep your own hopes, your own dreams, your own beliefs. Just come, be a part of us, be cool. That's not what we say coming in here, brothers and sisters. You come into those doors, you let go of your own hopes, your own dreams, your own beliefs. You don't tell us what you want to believe. We tell you what to believe. Because there's something at stake here. It's not your comfort in this world. It's the eternal destiny of our soul. And the Lord will offend us if he has to wake us up. It's not about what I want. Well, actually, it is what I want. It is about what I want. What do I want? What do I really want? That's the delusion of idolatry. It makes me think I want the idols, but I don't want the idols. What I want is what the idols promise, but don't give. It's eternal life. It's the joy of the Father. It's the communion and the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's what I want. I want the tender love of the Holy Virgin, the visceral compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want. Yeah, I want riches, but I don't want the riches of gold and silver. I want the riches of God's uncreated glory that give me eternal life. That's what I want. And that's what the Lord would give to us. That's what he would give to us if we would deny ourselves and take up our cross and begin now to sell all that we have for the sake of that treasure of heaven, which is Jesus Christ. So, what do we do? What do we do if we don't want to go with the rich man, if we don't want to turn away in sorrow? Well, let's turn to the Lord in sorrow. Let's turn to the Lord in sorrow. And let's be sorrowful for our sins. Let's not be sorrowful that we have to deny ourselves. Let's be sorrowful that we don't have the power to deny ourselves. And let's ask the Lord for help. Seek out the chastening of the Lord. And in the cleansing and healing that his chastening brings, and the love for God that is conceived in our soul, when we receive his sweet chastening, let us take up the work of laying hold the love of our heart, and let's work to keep the commandments of Christ with attention in our heart, not just going through the motions, but with attention in our heart. Pray to God from the heart. The church gives us these beautiful words, these beautiful prayers. These prayers were not devised by some committee on prayer. These prayers were given to us from the church in the Holy Spirit. Christ is in those prayers. You say those prayers, you touch Christ. Say those prayers from the heart. Keep the fast, for crying out loud. How many of us are fasting on Wednesday and Friday? Keep the fast. Not as a religious observance or as an obligation, but out of love for Christ. This is our opportunity given to us by the church every Wednesday and Friday to share at least a little bit in the suffering that Christ suffered for us out of his love for us. It's an opportunity for us to express our desire to love Christ, not just in words, but in deeds, by denying our stomachs so that we can give our minds to more attentive prayer that day. Enter into the eternal life of God that is already present to you. Enter into that eternal life. It's already present to you. It's present to you here in the Holy Church, in the services of the church. If you're not here during a service of the church, you better have a good reason. Here is the life that you're looking for. And if you're not here because it's too long or it's too boring, what is that saying about the love that's in your heart? Come to the church. Come to the services and listen. Absorb the words into your heart and make them your own. And when you do come, stand reverently in the fear of God with faith and love. Listen, look, absorb all that you see and hear. That's how you grow in the life of God and in the love of God. That's how we grow this faith that has been sown in our heart. We don't grow it by giving our energy to the things of the world. When we do that, what grows in us is the flesh, and the flesh will pass away. We grow in the love of God as we give the love of our heart to God, by coming to talk with God, to stand in His presence, to hear His word. We are receiving in all the words of the church the word of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And when we give ourselves to the Lord Jesus, it is He who will strengthen us and who will empower us and enable us to sell all that we have. We'll begin to want to do it because we will have tasted the goodness of the Lord. We will have received a taste of His love, sweeter than honey. And we'll discover that that's what we want. And we'll work even harder to deny ourselves, that we can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive all that He would give to us, which is Himself, in the joy of His Father. Most Holy Theotokos, save us. Amen.